WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel. Excited to be with you here today. Joined, of course, by
Luke Torrey,
Adam Baranowski.
And we have a lot to talk about: rule changes, injuries, and more. So much to look at, so much for people to be upset about. I can already see two faces who are not excited to talk about today's topics. You're not excited, are you?
Why would I be excited? Yeah. I mean, it's just typical Yankees getting testing the depth
season,
at the start of the year.
You love it. You know it. But not the injuries part, but, you know, all that's going on. But let's talk about first. Bigger bases are now in baseball. This is a topic that's been it's always been for years. Like, oh, they're finally going to change the size of the bases. They've finally done it. It's a bigger base. I forget the exact dimensions, but two times larger at least. Than the original base. I mean, they showed it. They basically had an old
base.
Was
it that much? Two times longer?
Yeah, literally. Look at they showed reporters.
It was bigger bases. Bases go from 15 inches in width to 18 inches in width.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it looks huge, like, compared to an old base. It's, like, insane how much extra base is there.
Obviously, the pros of that.
Stealing's easier.
Yeah.
And injuries are reduced. That's what happened in the minor leagues when they tested that out.
Yeah.
A lot less.
Yeah, I actually like the bigger bases because stealing just makes the game more fun. But I also think that it's kind of a loss for the defense, like, when they're in the field, because preventing stealing is unlikelier, but stealing is likelier. Like, it's higher chance of happening.
But now you say that, I mean, we've all seen the videos of guys just doing these amazing splits, but do you think that maybe kind of helps, you know, where these guys are not putting their muscles in that strain?
Yeah, like, for example, like, Anthony Rizzo is a perfect example. He'll always, like, he'll get a pass from usually, like, from Donaldson. It'll be a bad pass, and he'll be, like, reaching out all the way. And I'm like, jeez, he could, like, tear his groin right now. And, I think it's better for, like, first baseman specifically, too, because it, like, doesn't have to make them reach all the way out. They could just, like, if the bases are bigger, then it just makes their job, their life a lot easier. I like the rule. I don't hate it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I think it's a big positive. Yeah. Luke, your thoughts?
Like I said, I like the bigger bases.
Just less injuries.
Less injuries. I'm a fan of chaos on the base paths. My high school coach, his whole motto was create chaos. Like, we would do a bunch of stuff on the base paths that other teams wouldn't do and wouldn't be ready for. So, I mean, like, I feel like I'll see a lot more chaos on the base paths, traffic, steals and stuff. So, I mean, I like it. I think it's going to make the game more entertaining.
Yeah.
Along with the game being more entertaining, I like the pitch clock, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of non-baseball lovers are always complaining about the games being too long, and that's why they don't want to watch it. This speeds up the game. A lot of the rule changes this year, I'm a big fan of.
Definitely, because I just cannot sit there watching a pitcher take a minute to pitch one pitch. Like, it's just, it's brutal. It's brutal.
All right, then you're mentioning how you like the rules. I guess thoughts on now Ghost Runner on second and extra innings is staying. That has been decided upon. That's definitely a mixed bag throughout the entire kind of baseball world. I have a side on it. I'm going to wait, but I'm going to let Luke, you first, Adam, with me.
I mean, I voiced my opinion last week on the extra inning rule and the man on second and stuff and the seven-inning doubleheaders. I get the seven-inning doubleheaders. I'm fine with that. I would rather it just be regular baseball, but the man on second, I just don't like. I don't think it's real baseball. I'm okay with it for 12U, like whatever I used to do in middle school when we had that rule, but I don't know. I don't really like it in the MLB.
I'm kind of actually a fan of it because, to me, it makes the game more interesting and it speeds it up. Like, there won't be any 18-inning games. Like, it's unlikely for it to be 18-inning games. Like it's just, like, sitting there for, like, 6 hours watching a baseball game, waiting for somebody to hit the ball an extra inning. It's just so much pain. And it's just, like, who wants to deal with that? And I just think the MLB was, like, smart. They realized that, like, we're trying to speed this up a little bit. We're trying to make the game a little bit faster and, like, just, like, make it more fun, too. Like, if you just win before then if you don't want to go to, like, extra innings. It's not that hard. Just win the game beforehand. Like, that's just my hope, like, point of view, why teams don't like it. Don't get there then if you don't like it. You get what I'm saying?
I see both sides of it, but, like, imagine your team's playing in the World Series and goes game seven, goes to extra innings.
Well, that does not apply in playoffs.
Oh, it doesn't?
Yeah, it doesn't apply in the playoffs.
Okay. This is only for regular season games.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, because regular season is it's so long.
It's 162 games.
Yeah, it's 162 games. You play pretty much every day, and it's the seven inning rule. I love the seven inning doubleheader. It's perfect because it minimizes injury, and it's just better for the players overall, and it just protects the players' health as well. And yeah, I'm a fan of the man on second. My dad's not, but I like it. I like it. It's just like it moves the game faster, and it just makes it more fun, in my opinion.
I agree with Adam on this kind of rule. I think it's sadly a necessary thing because it was either this or kind of follow the Nippon League kind of
and like
two and a half hours. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And like another point is like let's say you have the bottom of your lineup batting. Like let's say like the Yankees have like a man on second, right? It's like, I don't know, like Torres, and then we have like Higashioka, who bats like a .16, whatever. And then we have Hicks, and then we have like, who else was bad batting? I don't remember. Like Gallo, let's say, like somebody like that. Like we need that man on second because like we just need every base that we could get at that point. And having a man on second for a team that has like a really low like hitting percentage for the team at the bottom of the order is very helpful in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So like it kind of like just gets to the bottom order. Like if they're up, it gets them out of it in a way, in my opinion. Helps them out a little bit.
Luke, I guess what's kind of your thoughts to our kind of take on this?
I mean, I see where you guys are coming from. I'm not like the world's biggest hater for the rule. I just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm more of an old head. I'm more of a like traditional baseball thing. But I get the points where it makes baseball go quicker. It makes, I get it. I get why it's staying. I can accept it, but I'm not the biggest fan.
So let's say this rule is not being used, but let's say that, like I was talking about before, Nippon League in Japan, it's 2.5 hours. That's it. Otherwise, if the game is still tied at that point, it's considered a tied game in the rules.
No.
I would never want that.
Yeah, I would never. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell a little personal story here.
Okay.
Which is why I hate time limits on anything ever. So I was in Cooperstown when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. We made it to the Final Four, right? So we're playing the team who eventually went on to win. They went up 20-0 against us.
Wow.
Right? Crazy. We came back. It was the sixth inning.
Wow.
It was 21-18 now. And then I get up. I hit a double. Two runs scored. It's 21-20. In the middle of our inning, time limit hits, they call it. They don't even let us finish the inning.
Wow.
We were coming back.
That's brutal.
Second base, one out. A tying run's on second base. We got an inning to go, and they called it.
If I was your coach, I'd be livid.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd be livid.
They eventually, the Midville Dodgers it was, they eventually ended up winning it and then representing our region in the Little League World Series that year.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is so bad. That's really bad.
During that game, in the comeback, we had like a 12-run inning. We had 3 grand slams in one inning.
Insane.
Oh, it was nuts. Wow. But, yeah, it was really like, could you imagine going down 20, coming all the way back, and then just saying, all right, that's it.
Time limits on games. I think ties in general, like even in football and any sport, should just not be happening. Like, what do you play the sport? You don't play the sport to tie. Yeah, like,
right. Ridiculous.
Like, I get the NFL, like it's physical and you don't play to tie, but come on. Like, finish again. It's football. It's never going to be boring. Boring.
Yeah,
like just finish the game. It's just.
Well, I think that's the thing where you know with football, especially because you know it's amazing how you know, for the NFL, every single game is basically on over the air television where they have to hit times. So I think that's kind of the thing. Where they haven't changed.
Yeah, but like. But you have, like, let's say it's like a 4:25 game, and that's what you have red zone for, though. Like, a lot of games aren't even on TV, they're on red zone. So, or just put them on, like, a separate channel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm not a fan of ties in any sport.
But hang on, do you realize that every game's regional, right? It's not just
Fox. Yeah, I understand, but, like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of ties. Like, there's just no point of watching if both teams tie. Like,
yeah. I understand that take.
Especially in baseball.
Yeah. And then, of course, the shift is, you both love this.
Oh, God.
Banned. Well, technically.
Yeah.
there's implemented rules, like, gotta have your feet. I was thinking to myself the other day, like, I was reading the rules of it, and, like, you infielders have to have their feet on the dirt when the pitch is released. Do you think guys are gonna, like, sprint out to a different position right as, like, the pitch is thrown or something?
1,000%.
Like, to try to, like, cheat around it? Yeah,
no, they do that now, too. Like, if you see, when I was at the Yankees game, when I think it was Alvarez batting, Yordan, there was not a single player infield. There was not, like, one person on the – there was just, like, three – like, I think it was Torres went in the outfield pretty much with Judge, and then it was somebody else. They were just waiting because they're like, Yordan's going to hit a bomb. They know it, and he ended up hitting a home run. But there was, like, five outfielders out there. They know that Yordan's not going to hit a base hit. So that's just – they're going to go regardless, in my opinion. They're just going to – they're going to play. They're going to see who the batter is, and they're just going to – they always cheat. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. It doesn't ruin the sport. But.
So, yeah, I think the rules are you have to have feet on the dirt as the pitch is released, and then you can't have – it's like two guys on both sides of second base. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I like it, obviously.
I mean, yeah, I like it too, but no one's going to do that.
Pitchers are going to hate it. There's going to be a lot of ERA changes. I think the best ERA this year is going to be around 3.0.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Ooh, so you're expecting a lot of runs.
A lot of runs this year because, like, think about the amount of guys that are affected by the shift.
Yeah.
Like, so many. There's going to be so many more base runners, so many more hits,
runs. The size of the bases, too, is big because a lot of the times you see plays where it's, like, literally, like, honestly, a millisecond.
I think the implement of the pitch clock could not have come at a better time.
Yes.
Because I don't think the pitch clock is going to change games that much because of the other rules that were added. Yeah. If the pitch clock was added, like, or wasn't added with the rules that were added now, games would be 6 hours long. Because I'm telling you, with the shift being banned, there's going to be so many more hits and so many more runs, and the games are going to go longer. So the reason that I think they did that on purpose with adding the pitch clock
How long is the pitch clock?
It's different when runners are on base or something, and like the amount of outs or something. I gotta check, but
I think
it's
quicker.
Like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that.
Oh, thank goodness, the game's gonna be twice as fast.
But I think they did that on purpose, where they added that in the same time that they added like.
Rob Manfred is really not doing that bad of a job.
I don't know about that.
Okay, real quick. So speaking of Manfred, he actually made a comment about blackouts.
He did.
Let me grab that real quick.
Yeah, I didn't see that yet.
He was asked about it. It was by Jeff Passan. His response: blackouts are the kind of opposite side of the coin of reach. We need to deliver the product to fans who want to watch on platforms that they customarily use at a realistic place. That's our number one priority. So it sounds like the MLB is actually listening on this, and it sounds like they're going to try to figure out how to phase out blackouts. I know we all basically hate the blackouts, and it sounds like for once the MLB is actually listening to fans on this. Thoughts on that?
You want to go first?
Blackouts, you mean like
television blackouts.
Television, okay, yeah. I mean, I haven't really experienced any, so I don't really know. I haven't seen many games. I mean, I saw a couple. There was like a couple Yankee game last year against the Red Sox where it just like – blacked out for like 2 minutes. It kind of pissed me off, but I also hated the commentators. So it was just, I think it was AJ, I don't remember, some former Red Sox and then somebody else. They were horrendous. Don't recommend them. They're on, I think, TV or Fox Baseball. Not A-Rod. It's somebody else.
I just hate blackouts, man. Like, I'll be in like New York and I'll try to watch the game on my phone. If it's not on Yes, I'm like, I can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, why? Yeah. Like, what? I'm literally here. Yeah. Like, why is this region knocked out? It's so annoying.
Yeah, sometimes also, like, I can't watch Yankee games because the Yankees, for some reason, the Nets take over the Yankee channel. I'm like, this is Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network, not the Nets channel. Like, that's what Yes stands for. And I'm like, why can't I access the Yankee game? They're like, oh, you need to have Yes Plus. I'm like, this is the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network, for crying out loud. Yeah. Like, I should be able to get the Yankees game, not the Nets game. I don't care about the Nets. Like,
yeah. I always find that funny because you also have the MSG Network and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like we have MSG Plus, but like the Rangers playing MSG Plus. I mean, I'm a Rangers fan too, but I'd rather watch the Knicks than the Rangers because I like basketball better. But I have MSG Network, MSG Plus, MSG 2, whatever. As many, like, just put like the Yankees on MSG or something, whatever. You have plenty of MSG channels. You're not playing anything on them anyway. But, like, it just pisses me off. They're like, oh, we're going to play the Nets on in April. We're going to play the Nets on Yes because they're I'm like, bro, what? No. Like, that's not, that's not. And then you just play the Yankees either on My Nine or you play them on some like Apple TV, which I don't have. And I'm like, how are you just going to play them on these like random platforms? And like Prime Video, too, just play a whole bunch of Yankee
games. Here, I have something to propose to you. Put the Yankees on SNY. There you go.
Oh, exactly.
No.
But the Yankees will have more.
I love Yes Network.
I love Yes Network, but they'll be playing the Nets game for no reason. That's what I'm trying to say. And, like, I don't have Yes Plus, so if the Yankees don't play on Yes or Prime, I'm beat. Like,
it'll look nice when I said put the Yankees on the Mets television channel.
All I'm gonna say is we still have more views. We still have more. We still have more viewers. Definitely.
Yes Network's awesome.
Yes Network's
my
great.
My sister
I love
works
Network.
For Yes now.
I love Yes Network.
It's fire.
Yeah.
Okay, I catch a plane when I go to New York. Yes Network, I find it very annoying because it's basically either the Nets, they're complaining about the Nets, and they barely put on Yankees game.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That whole channel is just Brooklyn Nets, Brooklyn.
Well, maybe they won't do it now because they just traded away their three superstars.
Yeah. They're not going to.
Excuse me, two. Ben Simmons is not a superstar.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm counting
Harden
being traded away.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm just
and
like
Simmons is still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they got Simmons and so I'm just hoping. I love Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, he's good. But yeah, that's just what I'm hoping happens, so that they don't have to show like constant Nets content. Like I don't. My dad's a Nets fan. Like I get it, but I just don't want to watch Nets content when it's the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network. Like I'm sorry. Yes, people. Can you just show Yankees games, please?
Wow, imagine asking a channel to do the thing. But you know what?
Exactly.
We're talking about this. Why does New York have three different sports networks? You have Madison Square Garden.
MSG.
You have, of course,
SNY,
Yes.
And then, yes.
And then you have SNY. It's like,
yeah,
and you like can convince some of this.
The funniest part is SNY is like Mets Rangers, but then the Rangers play on MSG.
And it's funny because also like the football teams, none of them go on that. Jets and Giants are on CBS.
Because
and Jets are on Fox, yeah.
No, Jets are on
Jets are on CBS.
Oh, Jets. That's CBS. Yeah,
yeah.
On Fox.
Yeah, right, NFC Fox, yeah. AFC CBS.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing, we'll probably have this carry over between our segment. But, Luke, you absolutely love these types of deals. The Astros.
Oh, my God. I saw that. Don't even.
You buy out that arbitration. Your face is just beautiful.
How do you accept. I don't know. I can't. Go, Luke. Just go. I'm speechless.
Well, let me say the deal first before you complain about it. So Christian Javier, from, of course, Astros, is 5 years, $64 million, $3 million in this season, $7 million 2024, 2025 is $10 million, and then $21 million for 26 and 27.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be a free agent at 30.
We're playing a pitcher worse than him.
How? I mean, it's a good deal for him, obviously. I mean, for them, but...
No, it's a good deal for him. Just go ahead and say it.
No,
it's not. No, it's not.
It's a Braves deal. It's good to see it's getting out of just Atlanta, that fishy business.
It's not fishy.
It's
buying out the arbitration years.
Nope,
that's all they're doing.
You'll never convince me otherwise. Something's going on in Atlanta.
Do you believe AA has kidnapped the families of the players and he has them?
Whoa!
No, that's an actual conspiracy theory that some fans have. He has kidnapped the families.
I don't know if it's that extreme. I just think they're interrogating the players, maybe blackmail or something. But
okay, what type of blackmail then for each player?
I don't know specifics. I'm not saying they're capturing their families and saying, if you don't accept this, you're not getting them back. But, I mean, I don't know. Something fishy's going on. That's all I'm saying. All
right.
I'm no detective, but I'm detecting it.
I just know you love the Ozzie Albies deal still. I know that's your favorite deal of all time.
I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, I thought of Luke right away too. I'm like, yeah, Luke's not gonna be. I was like, he's not gonna be happy. Yeah, I was like, I wasn't happy. I mean, if he wants to win, I don't blame him. That's the place to be if you want to win. That's just, and you want to take less to win to give like your teammates more. I'm all for it. I love players like that are selfless. But Christian Javier is better. Like, we're paying a pitcher that's worse than him way more money.
What is that player's name?
Carlos Rodon. Like, we're paying Carlos Rodon a lot more money. That just like tells me that
Javier is better than Rodon.
Yeah, Javier is better than Rodon. Javier is better than Rodon.
I don't know.
I would take Javier.
Javier is very good.
Javier is.
But Rodon's a Cy Young candidate.
He was I think second at Cy Young voting behind his teammate last year third because behind Framber. But anyway, So that's just like my. I'm like, how did they do this, man? How? Like, how did the Astros and Braves do this?
It's very simple. We'll end out with this. No, they're not cheaters. What is happening is they're buying out the arbitration. They are saying, we are offering you guaranteed money at this moment instead of going to arbatration.
But realistically, like Luis Castillo, too. Like, Luis Castillo got the bag. But Luis Castillo is not even better than Javier. So why is Javier getting paid less?
Because he's younger and they're buying out the arbitration. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's crazy. Like when I see those contracts, it's like paying, in my opinion, like a John Morant. Like, I don't know, 5 years and like $80 million contract. Kind of. That's the way I see it.
I mean,
like,
the way he's playing for Memphis right now, he's probably going to get that.
Well,
he loves Memphis that much.
Yeah, I mean, true. But,
he's going to get $280 million Jaws over 5 years.
Yeah, Jaws gets. But what I'm saying is, like, a Ja level player in the MLB, like, I'm just comparing him to who he is in the NBA, like, about the level of the player. And, I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but $74 million for 5 years.
All right, well, moving on while Luke tries to figure out how the Braves are doing it. It's very simple, buying out arbitration years. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back in 5 minutes, everybody.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back to Student Section MLB, everybody. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Torrey,
Adam Baranowski.
So, let's go ahead and talk about an injury that happened recently. Franny Montas Jr., I'll go and let the two Yankees fans talk about Luke, you first.
I mean, we all knew he had an injury. He wasn't himself when he came over last year. So, I mean, I was pumped for a healthy Montas to start the year as our fifth starter. It looked really good on our rotation, but obviously now the shoulder injury, he's now getting surgery on the 21st, I believe it was, and he's going to be out at the very least until All-Star break.
What I read was
he could play the second half, but he also could miss the entire year.
What I read was he is going to be, best case scenario, he comes back at the end of the season. That's what I read today, is what Aaron Boone said. So that just shows you, yet again, the injury bug is hitting the Yankees when it matters the most, in my opinion. Because every single year it's something, whether it's Judge, whether it's Stanton. Well, Judge and Stanton got better, but now it's pitching. First it was hitting, now it's pitching getting hurt. It's everybody just...
Like, I mean,
when do the Yankees catch a break, man? Like, I don't understand. And just like Brian Cashman lost that trade. Like, it's just obvious.
Well,
we lost.
Yeah,
that trade.
I mean, I liked the move in the moment.
I mean, yeah, I did too. Yeah,
but obviously you can't just expect an injury to happen. That's not on him. Yeah. I like the trade, but obviously, yeah, now he lost in the moment. Yeah, that's a loss.
And like, of course, and now the Yankees are down a starter, and now who do they have at five? German, I don't think is good at all. My opinion.
He's good, but he's not Montas.
He's not Montas good. But like, we don't have a fifth starter, and you need to be able to have your starters deep in the playoffs. I think that they should get somebody from the bullpen and put them in starting, in my opinion.
I think Clark Schmidt's our guy.
Clark Schmidt, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I like Clark Schmidt.
Me too, yeah, because I think Clark Schmidt, but the Yankees, man, I don't know. I don't know what to say. We need a number five. We need a lot of things. We need a third baseman, we need an outfielder. Now we need a fifth pitcher. Like, God.
All right, well, then you say that. I guess you bring in someone from the bullpen. Who do you have come in to replace? Do you go to your farm system, or do you trade for somebody?
Who? I like Montas? for the five.
Clark Schmidt.
Clark Schmidt.
Right, but like I'm talking about. All right, you move him to your five. Who are you going to have replace him? Do you go to the farm, or do you?
I mean, we have a great bullpen. I'm not worried about
our
bullpen.
Our bullpen's very deep.
We re-signed Canely, which I loved. I don't know why we let Tommy Canely go in the first place, like 2 years ago. I love Tommy Canely. That's why I think he could take his place. Thank God we have Michael King coming back. Oh my God, God bless. But Michael King.
Michael King's my savior.
Yeah, Michael King. Hopefully, Loaisiga has a better year than he did last year. But I'm not worried about our bullpen. I'm not worried.
Loaisiga's nice, man.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he has a better year. But
Loaisiga's good. Bregman was quoted saying Loaiza is the hardest pitcher to face in the league.
He's got a nasty pitch.
Insane movement. Yeah. And speeds.
Yeah, he's good. I'm not worried. Like, Yankees have always had the last 3 years consistently the best bullpen play, in my opinion. We have a good bullpen. I'm not worried one bit. I would add another player to the bullpen if I'm the Yankees, but in my opinion, I move Clark Schmidt to a fifth starter.
I think
that's what they should do. And
the
then
moves we need after that injury, we need a
bullpen.
Back end bullpen, yes. Arm, yes. A left fielder.
And a third baseman. I cannot watch Josh Donaldson play. I cannot. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm done. DJ's coming back.
Yeah, DJ will.
Yeah, but I cannot. Like, DJ can play anywhere, and I just do not want to see Josh Donaldson on the field because I want to shoot myself playing, watching Josh Donaldson play.
Jeez.
Come on. I think Johnson gets a bit of a bad rap.
No,
he's a great defender. He can't hit, and he doesn't hustle.
Have you seen him attempt to hit the baseball? It's worse than me.
I didn't watch many Yankees games last year.
Watch Josh Donaldson try to hit the ball. It's atrocious. It's so bad.
Maybe I'm a little high from his Braves run,
the Yankees to get a base hitting left fielder. That's what they need, a base.
Well, do I
fielder.
Have the one for you? Have you ever heard of Marcus Ozuna?
Marcelo Ozuna. No, I don't want him.
I want a base
that
hitting.
That man can't stay out of trouble.
Brian
Reynolds. He's stealing things. He's abducting children. There's been seven different cases. I don't want him anywhere near my system.
Brian Reynolds, obviously, but until the Pirates calm down, we're not getting him.
Well, okay, so speaking of Reynolds, I mean, that has basically kind of flung into fury again today.
I give Torres for him. I'm not even kidding. I give Torres for him. And I just say Padres take it or Pirates take it or leave it.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about that real quick before moving back into another Yankees pitcher. So that entire situation with Brian Reynolds, I mean, do you think that the Pirates trade him this season, or do they seem fairly tough that they're going to keep him
around?
I think
what they're going to do is they're going to keep him midseason, and someone's going to blow them away. Some contender is going to blow them away and then give them way more than they should. That's what I think. That's what I think is going to happen. I'm hoping it's the Yankees because
want the Yankees to overpay for him.
I mean, overpay in a sense. We overpaid for Joey Gallo, yes. At that time, I believe we did too, but we had to do that because we were contending. Obviously, in my opinion, I don't want to say the Nationals overpaid or Padres overpaid for Soto because I'm not a big prospects guy, but I think that was about right for Soto. But there was a lot of overpays in many, many different. I don't know. I don't remember a lot of them, but I think that Reynolds, especially with what the Yankees need, is worth Gleyber Torres and one of our prospects, in my opinion. Definitely, I would pay that in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I would do that easily. But, I wouldn't pay him probably more than that.
Luke, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know what a package that for Reynolds would be. Obviously, Gleyber would be included, but I think we'd have to give up a little bit more than that. Obviously, Gleyber's upside we've seen 2018.
I do Dominguez, probably.
We saw it. Dominguez just got
I'm not a
called.
Big prospect guy.
Dominguez is up to spring training now. He just arrived there. But, nah, I wouldn't give up Dominguez, but Gleyber would be included.
Yeah, we need a base hitting left fielder who could get on base, who could steal bases, and who has who consistently has above a 3-0 or 3-0 batting average consistently. Yeah. And that's Reynolds.
You know, as a Braves fan, I think that would be. He would be a good pickup. I'm just trying to think of a potential package.
Max Kepler is not bad, but I don't want him. Max Kepler is going to attempt to hit home runs nonstop, and it's just I don't want that. Max Kepler's home run, strikeout, flyout, home run, strikeout, flyout. That's literally going to be Max Kepler. I don't want that. I don't want another Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, if you look at Aaron Judge, he got significantly better as a hitter, too.
Right.
Significantly. When you look at compared 2017 was either home run or strikeout. You could tell because he was the most struck out pitcher or player in the league. But then this year, it was consistently. What was his batting average this year, Luke? Like a
311.
311. This dude would get on base every game. He says Aaron Judge single, Aaron Judge double, Aaron Judge triple, Aaron Judge single. It's like a cycle. I'm like, wow. You could see the vast improvement from Aaron Judge as a hitter and as a power hitter and as a contact hitter. Mm. You could see both. It's insane. And I don't think Max Kepler is on that level. I don't. Brian Reynolds, on the other hand, we don't need him to hit home runs. We need him to get on base. That's the whole point, is we need Brian Reynolds. And I would put him, if I'm the Yankees, I'd put him in the bottom of the order. That's what I would do. The bottom of the order.
I was thinking as a Braves fan, you throw out packages. I mean, I'm just trying to think, what would be a kind of a deal the Braves would accept for Reynolds? I'm trying to think. The Pirates are definitely going to want more because he's staying in the National League.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pirates want less from the National League, I'm assuming.
I mean, less from the American League.
Yeah. Well, no, they want more from us because we're American League, but they'd want less from you because you're National League. Aren't the Pirates?
The Pirates are National League.
Oh, National League. I thought they were AL. My bad.
Maybe. I think you could stick Ozuna in that. It would have to be. I'm just trying to think of a good prospect that we could kind of dump.
For what?
For Reynolds.
Reynolds.
From the Braves?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it?
I mean, Anthopoulos always finds a way to get deals done.
But the Pirates seem like really stuck on like a huge package.
They're not getting a huge package. The Pirates have to wake up.
Here's the thing with Reynolds. They're stuck on the idea of getting a huge package, like a Soto-like deal, when everyone knows
they're still
not.
Traumatized that they traded Glasnow and Meadows for nothing. Like, get over you. They're still traumatized.
Hey, and let's not forget we got Clay Holmes for nothing.
For nothing, exactly. I forgot about that, too. Like, they get traumatized that they lose all these trades, and now they're trying to flee somebody. Like, nobody's going to give you more than you should for Reynolds.
Right.
Get over yourselves. You have decent players. You have O'Neal Cruz. You just drafted Tamar Johnson. You have decent players on your team. Just get over yourselves and give somebody a fair deal. You have a great farm system too.
They got the number one second baseman product.
And you just got the number one pick.
They got the number five and number six
and
catching prospects.
They got the number one pick like 2 months or 3 months or 4 months ago, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just get over. Like, I can't stand the Pirates, man.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm interested to see what happens. I think the Pirates definitely need to lower their price.
Yes, though. Because absolutely they do.
Yeah,
they're like asking for Judge Stanton and like no.
So real quick, I was going to say we're going to talk about another Yankees pitcher, but I actually want to talk about this a little bit before going into the next segment. But spring training is upon us.
Yes, pitchers and catchers have reported.
Yes.
Jason Dominguez got his call, finally. The Martian, the alien, out of this world.
Is he...
He's
with the big leagues?
He is a spring training invite, so if he goes crazy, who knows? Maybe he can make the roster. I doubt he will, but...
Yeah, I doubt he will, too. But if he doesn't make it, where do you think he'll be, double-A or triple-A?
Double-A to start the year. Yeah. And then I think he'll finish the year on triple-A, and then maybe next year could be the year.
Yeah, I heard 2024 was the year. That's what was said, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... I kind of hate saying this because it's just mean. But you guys know the, like, baseball images out of context account?
Yes.
Did you guys see that? So the Rangers, of course, Powell tweet, of course, Jacob DeGrom, their big signee. They posted a picture of him walking into the facility. That was 5 minutes later posted onto the baseball images out of context account. This is so dark.
Oh,
I legitimately checked everything to make see if he was injured.
He was injured.
I hate
that. That guy just cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
He's
the definition of a piece of glass.
Yeah.
I feel so bad because he's so good too. And
when he's healthy,
he's probably the best I've ever seen when healthy.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. Like, he a player that pitches at that level when healthy is absurd.
He throws 95 mile an hour sliders.
Yeah,
that's not physically possible, dude. Like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? But
yeah, it's. Yeah. Yeah, it's just sad at this point.
Surprised a guy like him hasn't gotten like Tommy John yet. All of his injuries have been like different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just such a great talent. It's just his injuries are.
Yeah.
Injuries are killers, man.
All right. So it always seems like every year there's one league that's always a little bit better, Cactus or Grapefruit. Which league do you think is going to be the better league this year? Last year was Cactus, in my opinion.
Cactus meaning NL or AL?
Cactus like
spring training.
My bad. yeah. I thought you meant. Oh, my bad.
Just think about rosters and everything. And now spring training.
Yeah, I'm going
is.
Through the teams in my head right now.
Right now, I'm leaning Grapefruit. Possibly.
Yeah, that's what
Grapefruit.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I assume you've been to a spring training room. Yeah. Okay.
I want to go.
I want to go also. But it's like, I want to go to the new Braves facility. It's like in the middle of nowhere in the swamp.
I just want to go to Tampa. That's just me. I want to go to Tampa.
You
want to
go
to
George Steinbrenner Field?
I love Florida.
You're going to go to Clearwater. You're going to get indoctrinated in Scientology and all that.
Oh, no. I'm not going to go to that. But I will gladly go to Florida. I will gladly go. A spring break, I will gladly go to spring training games. I'm completely fine with it.
That's I think that's something that has to be on every baseball fan's bucket list, right? Going on spring training.
Oh yeah, especially if it's in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to go like every spring break for high school.
Go and lay it on to us about how you managed to go. Okay, all right, Mr. Fancy Guy. tell us what it's like to go to a spring training.
Well, I actually like the lesser higher up teams better games, because I think I've told this story before on air, but when I was in Colorado or Arizona, I went to a Colorado Rockies spring training game, and we were there like 3 hours before the game, and this was when Trevor Story, Arenado, and Blackman were all together, and I was just walking, you know, and the three of them, Charlie Blackman, Trevor Story, and Nolan Arenado were just walking on the same path that I was, and they like
took a picture
of me, like signed my jersey. It was crazy.
That
would never happen at a Yankee game.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, each team's definitely, you know, like, oh, you're staying secluded in these areas, and then other teams are like,
yeah,
all right, yeah go around the field. We don't care. There's no security.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go on a quick break. We have more Nestor Cortes Jr. out of the World Baseball Classic. Talk about that, some trades that happened between Oakland and Miami, and more. So, quick 5-minute break, and we will be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So let's go and start talking about Nestor Cortes Jr. He is out of the World Baseball Classic for Team USA due to a kind of a tweaked hamstring. Of course, we have two Yankees fans in the house. Of course, basically a rising Yankees pitcher who kind of came in last year, kind of stole the scene.
Finally hit his stride, man. You got to be happy for a guy like that.
Yeah.
He was on the Yankees beforehand. Didn't really find his stride. Was on the Orioles, was on the Padres. He was all around.
A Rule 5 draft pick?
Yes, he was all around, and he finally hit his stride in his age 30 season.
Yep.
So, I guess thoughts on the injury and him missing the World Baseball Classic, will not be playing for Team America.
I didn't want him in it to begin with.
Yeah,
I don't.
Correct.
Like I said, I don't care about the World Baseball Classic as I would about like Team USA in the World Cup.
Yep.
But
correct.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, tweaked hamstring. Don't want him injured for the regular season. Just sit him down and let him throw in a couple weeks when he's feeling better. I'm fine with it. Absolutely no problem.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree with Luke. I'm very glad that he's out of the World Baseball Classic. He has no business playing in it. It's not MLB. It does not count for anything, in my opinion. I love America, don't get me wrong, but it's not the World Cup. The World Baseball Classic and the World Cup are two different things. So just let's get that out of the way first. And to me, the MLB season is far more important than the World Baseball Classic. And I am a tad bit concerned about the hamstring injuries because my dad, his best friend's a physical therapist.
They do linger.
Yeah, my dad's best friend's a physical therapist, and my dad had a hamstring injury once. I mean, my dad was also a lot older, but he also, the physical therapist, he also knows that he told my dad hamstring injuries could last, like, up to a year.
Yeah.
And Nestor, especially with, like, the position that he plays pitchers, you need your hamstrings. You need your hamstrings, especially with the way Nestor pitches. So I'm a tad bit concerned. Luckily, though, we're not playing games, and he has time to rest, but definitely something to keep an eye on, because if we lose Nestor and Montas before we even throw out the first pitch, I'll be very, very concerned for the New York Yankees. Very. I'm mildly concerned right now, but I'll be extreme. Like, I'll be, like, hitting the panic button, like spamming it over and over.
The season's over.
Yeah, well, it's not going to say it's over, because we have Aaron Judge, but If he doesn't play to start the season, at least I will be hitting the panic button.
I'm not worried.
I'm hitting the panic button immediately.
I'm not worried because I know we're winning the AL East. So as long as we got our guys healthy, you know.
I mean, I want to win the. Not only do I want to win the AL East, I want to get that bye. I want to get the bye. I don't want to just win the AL East. I want to get the first round bye. Like, I want that because that Russia players will recover from injuries that they were lingered all year, and I'm a big component of the bye. I love it. I love having that bye. And I want the Yankees not just to win the AL. I want them to win the AL East. I want them to win the AL so that they have home games too, because they play way better at home, in my opinion, than they do on the road. We'll see, though. We'll see. But I'm mildly concerned. Mildly. Mm. I am pleased that he's out of the World Baseball Classic, though, which is good. So.
It's just one of those things. I guess, Luke, I guess final thoughts, kind of wrapping up everything in this situation.
Like I said, I'm okay with, very okay with Nestor not being in it, and hopefully no more surprise injuries.
Yeah, because if you look at the history of the Yankees, every year it's something. Whether it's Judge, whether it's Stanton, whether it's Torres, whether it's LeMahieu last year, whether it's Cole.
I'm very excited to have a healthy LeMahieu back. We saw him.
Yes, we needed DJ
that 320 hitter,
yes.
Versatile defender.
We needed DJ badly in the playoffs. And I feel like if we had DJ LeMahieu in the playoffs, we could have probably competed against the Astros.
A healthy DJ LeMahieu, people don't realize how much that changes things.
Yes, correct. Absolutely. And we could have at least taken the Astros for the 7 games. I don't think we would have won, but we could have taken the Astros 7 games.
I'll tell you what, we would have taken them more than 4.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what exactly. We'd have taken them easily more than 4 games if we had DJ LeMahieu playing. So, because we couldn't hit the dang ball. So, I mean, you can't hit the ball. You can't win games in baseball. Yeah. What does LeMahieu do? He hits the ball.
Yeah, who cares about that? But let's talk about some trades. So the Oakland A's and the Miami Marlins had a little trade. It's basically a player swap. Yeah. J.J. Beldy is heading to the A's.
Blade, excuse me.
And then before I had to wait at the station to find. But A.J.
Puck,
okay. So like a hockey puck.
Yeah.
He's going to the Marlins.
I always thought it was puke, too, but it was puck. It's puck.
I just didn't want to make it sound like the other word.
Yeah.
You know, thoughts on that deal? I think it's a really weird, unneeded trade, to be honest, for both teams.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, no clue who either of them are.
Blade was like a top four pick, I think.
These are both two former top six picks.
Blade came in last year. He was like I think one of the first picks, I think, in 2017 or 18. I don't know, but he came in last year, struggled. He batted like 167 or something like that as a rookie, which is very bad. But yeah, he just wasn't good, and I'm kind of surprised the Marlins gave up on him that early. It'd be a little surprised.
But they had a need at relief pitching,
so it kind of makes sense why they did
it.
They had a need, so
yeah.
They're moving. My bad. They're also moving him out. I keep forgetting his name. Oh my god, the cover of
Jazz.
Yeah, Jazz. Jazz Chisholm. Yeah. They're moving him out to outfield, so I didn't really think they needed Blade.
Yeah. So in his kind of Miami career, he played for Pensacola. Let's see. I'm just grabbing everything. He had 84 hits with 12 home runs. Went to camp he went to play for the fall league. Wasn't really kind of there. He only had 5 hits there, and then in Jacksonville this last season, besides a couple stints with the Marlins, he had 69 hits with 20 home runs. So some improvement, but at the same time, it felt like...
He was in MLB last year for like a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
It was very bad.
It seems like maybe they feel like, you know, he's only doing super good in minor leagues.
It's kind of the same story with... who was Edwin Diaz traded for, that guy? I forgot his name. I
forget his name also.
Jared Kelenic. And it's kind of the same thing with Jared Kelenic. He always cooks in the minor leagues, and then he'll go to the majors and just... Oh my god, it's so bad. It's horrible. But you'll see, he'll go back to the minors for like 30 home runs. But then he'll go back to the majors, and it's a disaster.
Yeah. And then last year for AJ Puck in Oakland, he had a ERA of 3.12, which is a lot better than his original, which was just in three games.
I think the trade makes sense for the Athletics in a way, because they want to get younger. And Blade, at the end of the day, still has a lot of potential. I mean, he was a top three pick, He was a top five pick like a couple years ago. So really, well, not that long ago, he was a top five pick. And I think the A's are like, well, I mean, we have nothing to lose anyway. We don't have a good team. Might as well take the chance. And I don't blame them. It's not that bad of an option for the Athletics, in my opinion. It's really not.
It is. Luke, kind of thoughts on your this entire trade?
Like I said, not like a diehard fan of any of these two guys, but I mean, I don't see it being a major impact for either team.
Yeah.
GMC would GMC, so I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
They saw something, so we'll see how it plans out in the future.
That's my take. I don't think A's have anything to lose, really, because they're not good anyway, and you might as well take the flyer on the young guy. That's the way I see it.
All right. So kind of last thing to kind of really wrap up the show. What is like your like? What is there a possible trade that you could see happen between now and the start of spring training, which is the 24th next week, that we could really see that could be a big deal in this upcoming season?
Only way I could see that happening is if like a major injury occurs.
Right.
Like if it's kind of like the NFL. Like if your quarterback tears his ACL in the preseason, then something major is going to happen. Like you're going to make a move for a big name quarterback that's on the market, kind of like that. So like if like a pitcher gets hurt or like some player gets hurt, somebody's definitely going to be traded. I don't know who. I don't know who's on the block. I don't know what GMs are thinking, but definitely if somebody only if somebody gets injured though. I don't think there's going to be another big move before the year.
Mm.
I think the trade deadline will be definitely high.
Yeah, but Luke, your thoughts?
I don't see anything huge happening, to be honest.
Yeah, unless there's injuries. But yeah.
It's always one of those things.
It depends on who the injuries are like. Like if the Astros suffer like a catastrophic injury, they're obviously I think going to make a trade. I think.
Yeah.
Like if a contender is going to suffer a major injury, they have to make a trade, in my opinion. But. I don't think anything else is really going to happen.
Mm. All right. And then finally, big news that we've somehow been missing for a bit. Dana Brown has been hired by the Houston Astros to be the GM for the team. Of course, this was after the last GM was fired for basically disagreeing with owner Jim Crane. Thoughts on the hire? I think this is a interesting move, definitely, by the Astros.
I mean, I don't know.
I hope it slows them down.
Yeah.
I hope it's a bad move.
Well, Luke, you say that. Brown was the former vice president of scouting for the Braves.
Oof.
Oh, damn. God. So that's
gonna
be
a good hire. Yeah. Oh, God, man.
I love how Luke, you guys are just kind of like, oh, it's probably bad. It's probably, so probably
that's
mouthpiece.
Where, right. What years we see the
2019 and 2020.
Oh, God. So he's the guy that got Albies. So he got Albies and Acuna?
Nah,
Acuna like scouted bro. Them, I'm talking about.
No, so it was 2019 to 2022.
So it was like Strider.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Here we go, part two. They're going to be running the AL the next 5 years again.
Luke, in your depression, tell us how you feel at the moment.
I just wish the Astros were, like, discontinued somehow.
Yeah, just get them out of the league, have a year off.
Rename them and move them to Montreal, and I'll root for them.
Yeah.
I'll actually root for them because I like the Astros. Whoa. I like the Expos, not the Astros.
I'm about to say, hold on.
I don't like the Astros, but I definitely respect them.
I don't.
I respect them.
I don't like them at all. I hate them.
Year in, year out, they lose their best players and just continue to tear it up. I don't like it, but just can't do nothing but respect that. So.
Yeah. Well, of course, also, that's probably a good sign as to why we saw contracts like Christian Javier's.
Yeah.
He took the Atlanta Secrets.
Yeah.
He took the Atlanta Blackmail.
He saw they won a World Series, and then now the Astros did, so they just want to rule baseball for cheap for the next few years.
Yeah. I don't think the Astros are going away anytime soon.
All right. Well, all right. So since you guys love this, what will be the craziest deal the Astros will do like for the player you think it's possible?
Jeremy Pena.
All right. How much is he going to get paid?
He's going to get like 8 years, 20 mil.
I don't think it's going to be that low.
I think he'll get – that's like a Scottie Pippen trade.
He'll get like 8 years, 125 mil or something like that.
Which is
ridiculous. Which is so cheap.
Oh, my God. Yeah, something like that. I would assume 8 years.
8 years, 140 or 160. He should be getting 8 years, 280.
Or like 300, close to that at least.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Some stuff just doesn't make sense in my brain, and that's one of them.
Okay, yeah. so how do I have to explain this to you?
No, I understand, but let me believe that something fishy's going on in Atlanta.
I mean, here's the thing. You've said multiple times that your NL team is the Atlanta Braves.
Yes. I'm not, I'm not like getting after them. I'm just stating the obvious that something is not.
If the Braves win the World Series, I won't be mad. Like, I mean, I'll be mad, but if the Braves win, it won't bother me.
You know how great the show would be if it was a Yankees-Braves World Series?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That would be awesome.
The amount of talking yeah.
We would be doing to each other.
Oh, you missed it.
He was a full Astros bandwagon last week, and it was.
It made me look so mad.
I mean, he was the only one because it was Will was here, and then it was just.
Yeah, but Will was going for the Yankees at least.
Good, good.
Yeah. I was like, you know, this was World Series only. I was basically saying, I think the Astros are going to do it.
Oh, you guys should play the Phillies.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was like,
said whoever wins that ALCS series was winning the
World
Series.
I was rooting for the Mariners when the Yankees I was like either Yankees or Mariners because I love the Mariners. I'm a big Mariners guy. I'm very high on them.
No, the arguments, listeners, no, we would have arguments about the Astros and
I can't imagine what this show would be.
Oh,
if it was
we would be
Braves.
We would like there like so.
We'd have to rename the show to just like Trash Talking Network.
Yeah. So just for, to me and Luke right now we're divided by a glass panel just for sound. That glass panel would be gone in some cases.
Oh, it would be shattered.
Yeah.
It would be shattered the second Aroldis Chapman came in and blew it.
God, I hate that.
Thank God he's gone.
I hate that guy.
He should be sent right back to Cuba.
Yeah.
I think he's actually back in Cuba.
No, he's
for now probably, yeah. But he's I think he signed with like the it was the Royals.
I think so, yeah.
He can about Cuba. He's actually
good.
Cuba
you
for
could
now.
Go blow games for them being 20 games under. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's just
I agree.
You're being a little mean. You're
I'm being not being mean.
He's
horrible.
He's horrendous.
I got to show you guys a meme when we get off, by the way.
He did very horrendous. Good for the Cubs, and you guys should be happy
about that part. No, he did not. If that rain delay does not happen, the Cubs don't win the World Series. You remember that rain delay? That gave her all the Chapman time. Remember. Look it up. The game 7 World Series rain delay. That gave Chapman time to recover. No, he was about to blow it.
Hey, you got to – people discredit Chapman for that series because he gave up a home run to Rajay Davis. You know what he did after that? He came out and went 1-2-3 struck out the side.
Probably
I don't like Aroldis Chapman, but I mean
that's a very fair point. All right,
they were using him like two innings every time, and he never did that.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, that's the end of the show for this week. We shall see you next week, same time, same place. But until then, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Get excited for spring training.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.